We are in this month of missions and stewardship and revival. We'll look at the how and why we give. I'm supposed to speak on Sunday morning the 17th, but this coming week we have a missionary in the morning and a missionary on Sunday night. And so we learn much from them. No, I got one of those, brother. Thank you. I had a personal list on a yellow piece of paper. I gave him to read over, but I had some more notes on there. Chapter 28 in your Bibles in Deuteronomy, verse 1. It shall come to pass, if thou shalt hearken diligently unto the voice of the Lord thy God, to observe and to do all his commandments, which I command thee this day, that the Lord thy God will set thee on high above all nations of the earth. And all these blessings shall come on thee and overtake thee, if thou shalt hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God. Blessed shalt thou be in the city, blessed shalt thou be in the field, blessed shalt thou be the fruit of thy body, and the fruit of thy ground, and the fruit of thy cattle, and the increase of thy kine, and the flocks of thy sheep. Blessed shall be thy basket and thy store. Blessed shalt thou be when thou comest in, and blessed shalt thou be when thou goest out. The Lord shall cause thine enemies that rise up against thee to be smitten before thy face. They shall come out against thee one way and flee before thee seven ways. The Lord shall command the blessing upon thee in thy storehouses and in all thou settest thine hand to do. And he shall bless thee in the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. The Lord shall establish thee an holy people unto himself, as he hath sworn unto thee, if thou shalt keep the commandments of the Lord thy God and walk in his ways. And all the people of the earth shall see that thou art called by the name of the Lord, and they shall be afraid of thee. And the Lord shall make thee plenteous in goods, in the fruit of thy body, the fruit of thy cattle, the fruit of thy ground, in the land which the Lord sware unto thy fathers. So God promises to open up his treasury to them. We saw last that the mountains in the two mountains they would come through the valley between would be the mountain of blessing and the mountain of cursing. Half the tribe of the 12 tribes, half of them would be on the mountain of blessing and half would be on the mountain of cursing. And as they passed by them, they would bless them with these blessings that God wrote in the Word, or they would pronounce to them the warning of the curse that would come upon them if they failed to obey the Lord. Mount Gerizim was the mountain of blessing, and Mount Ebal, the mount of cursing. Look back at Deuteronomy 26 and verse 16, if you would. This day the Lord thy God hath commanded thee to do these statutes and judgments. Thou shalt therefore keep and do them with all thine heart and with all thy soul. Thou hast avouched the Lord this day to be thy God and to walk in his ways and to keep his statutes and commandments and judgments and to hearken unto his voice. And the Lord hath avowed to thee this day to be his peculiar people as he hath promised, and that thou shouldest keep all his commandments and to make thee high above all nations, which he hath made in praise and in the name and in honor, that thou mayest be holy and unto the Lord thy God, as he hath spoken. Now, the blessings are pronounced in the Mount Ebal. They were to set up stones and plaster them. And in Mount Ebal, they were to put the curses. Mount Gerizim were to be the place of the blessings. And it's all a matter of choice, just like it still is with us. To obey or disobey is a choice we make with God, and God takes it very seriously. He has given us his word to obey. You think all the way back in the time in the Garden of Eden when Adam and Eve were given the ability to eat of any of the trees in the garden except one. There was only one prohibition to them, just one thing they couldn't do. They were not to eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And yet that's what they did. They made a choice to disobey God. And all mankind is subject to death because of their sin. and the nature within us that we're born with. Nobody really has to teach us to do wrong. Our own nature draws us to do the things it wants to do, and we often get into trouble and we do things that are wrong. Now, Adam and Eve were not murderers or adulterers or robbers or rejecters of God, but they did reject God's command by choice. They disobeyed him, and there was a very severe punishment for that disobedience. In chapter 27 and verse 1, Moses and the elders commanded the people, saying, "Keep all the commandments which I command you this day, and it shall be on the day when you pass over Jordan unto the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee, thou shalt set thee up great stones and plaster them with plaster, shalt write upon them all the words of this law when thou art passed over, that thou mayest go in unto the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee, a land that floweth with milk and honey, as the Lord God of thy fathers hath promised thee. Therefore it shall be when you be gone over Jordan that you set up these stones which I command you this day in Mount Ebal, and thou shalt plaster them with plaster, and thou shalt there build an altar unto the Lord thy God, an altar of stones. Thou shalt not lift up any iron tool upon them. Thou shalt build the altar of the Lord thy God of whole stones, and thou shalt offer burnt offerings thereon unto the Lord thy God, and thou shalt offer peace offerings, and shalt eat there and rejoice before the Lord thy God." Now, you'll remember we looked at the peace offerings, and the peace offering, they divided the sacrifice into three parts. One part went on the altar to be burned for God, a sweet-smelling savor going up to the Lord. And one part went to the priest for food, and the other third went to the offerer and his family for food. And they were to eat together and rejoice in the Lord and his goodness in providing for them through the sacrifice. He said they would write on the stones very plainly, "Moses and the priests and the Levites spake unto all Israel, saying, Take heed and hearken, O Israel, this day. Thou art become the people of the Lord thy God. Thou shalt therefore obey the voice of the Lord thy God and do his commandments and his statutes, which I command thee." Moses charged the people the same day, saying, "These shall stand upon Mount Gerizim," and he lists the six tribes. "And then these shall stand upon Mount Ebal to curse," and he lists the six tribes. "And the Levites shall speak and say unto the men of Israel with a loud voice, Cursed be the man that maketh any graven image, an abomination of the Lord, the work of the hands of the craftsman, and putteth it in a secret place." And then he says, "And all the people shall answer and say, Amen." Now these curses go all the way down to verse 26. And with each curse, the people were to say amen. Now, they did not do that with the blessings that were pronounced upon them, because the blessings are prophetic. They're not finished. They will continue to be filled throughout the lifetime of the nation of Israel. And so the curses, they were to know and be aware of the penalty for doing that. And this valley would make an excellent amphitheater for the priests and the Levites to declare the word of God unto the people. Now, they built the altar of stones and made the sacrifices thereon. Now, this location would have held a very sacred memory for the children of Israel, because this is near Shechem. And Shechem was very well known to them. The memory would be that Abraham had built altars in Shechem and offered unto God. And I give you the text there, Genesis 12, 6 and 7. "And Jacob had also made sacrifice upon altars in this area also." And so now it comes time for the nation to build altars and to make sacrifices unto God as they are passing through this valley going into the promised land. The leaders read aloud God's commands, and the people would say amen. And Colossians chapter 2 in the New Testament, verse 11 through 14. Colossians 2, verse 11. He said, "In whom also ye are circumcised with the circumcision made without hands, in putting off the body of the sins of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ, buried with him in baptism, wherein also ye are risen with him through the faith of the operation of God, who hath raised him from the dead. And this is let's go on down to verse 14. You being dead in your sins and the uncircumcision of your flesh, hath he quickened, meaning made alive, together with him, having forgiven you all trespasses, blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us, which was contrary to us, and took it out of the way, nailing it to the cross. So there were things that had not been completely fulfilled that God had told them about to be blessed, and also cursings that could come if they disobeyed. And let's look at Isaiah 49. Some of these even go as far as to the very end, when in the tribulation period, how Israel will respond to God. In Isaiah 49 and verse 6 says, he said, it is a light thing that thou shouldest be my servant to raise up the tribes of Jacob and to restore the preserved of Israel. I will also give thee for a light to the Gentiles, that thou mayest be my salvation and unto the ends of the earth. And so Israel was to be a light to the Gentiles. They were to be a testimony. And Christ is a light to the Gentiles and fulfilled what Israel failed to do. And God expects the church to fulfill what Israel failed to do, and that is to spread the gospel, to be a light for the Lord, and to draw others to Christ by faith. Israel would be exalted above all nations and therefore be a witness for God. And God would bless all nations through Israel, because Christ would be born through the descendant of Abraham and David. And through Christ, all nations of the earth can be blessed. Everybody who's saved is saved because of Jesus Christ. He died for us all. And so through Abraham's seed, the whole earth is blessed because of the Lord. And then he reminds them how important it is if they obey. If they obey his word, if they follow his statutes, if they obey his judgments, then he will be able to bless them. In Deuteronomy 28 and verse 15 through 68, the curses are described. And God described the punishment that would come if Israel disobeyed him. God expected them to see when calamity struck, it was because of their disobedience. So they would repent and offer to God sacrifices that were proper for sin offerings unto God, in their apology, in their trying to make it right. Today, God has given us just the very understanding that if we sin, we are to confess our sin, and he is faithful and just to forgive us our sin and to cleanse us of all unrighteousness. I'm very pleased that we don't have to offer animal sacrifices. Christ died for us on the cross, and that was one death that paid it all, because Christ had that kind of relationship with God and that kind of power. Now, Israel would face sufferings from these curses. He talks about being cursed with incest, being cursed for any kind of sexual sins. They'd be cursed upon from other nations. They would fall prey to them if they didn't obey God. And of course, in 722 B.C., about that time, Assyria took the northern tribes of Israel into captivity. Many were killed and the rest were taken captive. And then in 606 B.C., the southern kingdom that had been in Jerusalem were attacked by Babylon and Nebuchadnezzar. And they were taken captive, and the city was destroyed, and the temple was destroyed. And they did that in three or four different raids coming back into Jerusalem. And they believe the temple was destroyed in 586 B.C., and the first destruction was in 606. And then another great destruction happened to the Jews in 70 A.D. by the Romans, when they mixed their blood of sacrifice with their own blood in slaying them. And Rome had blamed the Jews and Christians for everything that went wrong. And in 70 AD, Titus, the Roman general, led his forces against them and brought a great destruction upon them. Now, God said the warnings was like verse 22 that of chapter 27, cursed be he that lieth with any manner of beast, and all the people shall say amen. He said, in your bodies you will have diseases like they did down in Egypt. I told you not to do the things that they did in Egypt, and I would keep you from those things. But if you disobeyed me, then these things would come upon you. Their families would suffer. Their fields and their flocks and their herds would suffer. That's where you hit those kind of people in the pocketbook. That's what they made their living with. That's what their survival was dependent upon, their herds and their flocks. In the wilderness for 40 years, they didn't lose all that because God miraculously supplied the manna and the water, and they could eat and drink, and they didn't have to kill off all of their animals. They'd be sick in body and mind and be deprived of God's provision and protection, being defeated in battle. And war in that day and time was a horrible thing. It was often with aggression, with swords, and they would destroy men, women, and children, and they would scatter them and take them captive, and they'd leave their bodies lying out without being put in graves or anything, and that was an anathema to the Jews, to die like an animal and be left on the plain without a proper burial. And so these warnings were all given to them, but no matter how much God warned them, he told Moses, you know, basically, if you let me say it in a light way, they're going to do it anyway. They're going to disobey. I know they're going to disobey. And God did know what they would do, even though he warned them over and over again. And we're kind of the same way. It's our human nature, our sinful nature, that we make choices to do wrong, even though we know it's wrong, and we'll go ahead and do it anyway. Now, the captivity in Babylon lasted for 70 years. And 70 years was a date that God put upon them because for 490 years, they had not observed the proper feast of letting the land rest, the sabbatical years of letting the land rest every seventh year. And because of that, he added up all those years and gave them 70 years of captivity as punishment for all those years they failed to obey him in keeping the land in the way it should be. The warnings of being destroyed are repeated. Let's see if it's chapter 28 I'm looking for. Verse 20, chapter 28, the Lord shall send upon thee cursing, vexation, rebuke, and all thou settest thine hand unto for to do, until thou be destroyed, until thou perish quickly because of the wickedness of thy doings, whereby thou hast forsaken me. So he said they would be destroyed. He repeated it in verse 20, verse 24, verse 45, verse 48, verse 51, verse 61, and again in verse 63. Destruction that would come upon them, and he repeated it over and over in these verses. God only has to say it one time, and when he says it over and over, the emphasis is there to warn them. And then he said the words smitten or to smite is found in verse 22, 25, 27, 28, and 35. These horrible results of war and famine and pestilence and disease that come upon people. And it is a disgrace to a people, and it causes all of them to be depressed because they've lost their livelihood, and they can pray and pray all they want to, but God is not listening to them because they've disobeyed him. Even madness and blindness would come upon them in verse 28. Thou shalt grope at noonday, and the blind gropeth in darkness, and thou shalt not prosper in thy ways. Thou shalt be only oppressed and spoiled evermore, and no man shall save thee. So these problems that would happen, he said, you will betray the wife, and another man would lie with her. And thine oxen will be slain before thine eyes. And what warnings and all that come from God who loved them and gave them everything that they needed to survive. They would experience the diseases and plagues that Egypt had experienced. They would see their wives ravished, their children slain before their own eyes. Other nations would attack them with no mercy and would bring great destructions. The horrors of wars could even result in cannibalism. And several times Israel faced that. You'll remember when a woman came to the king and said, another woman promised to kill her child and we'd eat it, and then the next day we'd kill mine and eat it, and said, we killed mine and ate it, and now she's gone and hid her child. And how horrible can it be that people would lose any moral restraint and the natural affection of a mother allow her to eat her own child? That is a horrible thing that hunger could possibly cause. Drought and hunger and thirst. Innocent people suffer because of the sins of the guilty. The whole nation would suffer these things because the guilty who turned away from God and disobeyed him. You can look at the list in Jeremiah's book of Lamentations and see another reminder that it doesn't pay to rebel against God. God warned of rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft. And when they turned against him, they rebelled. If we look at Deuteronomy 28, verse 46 through verse 68, really, it's rather depressing to think of how our own disobedience produces the reaping of what we have sown in such a drastic manner that God would bring these kind of punishments upon them. All these because they did not serve the Lord their God with joy and gladness. In Deuteronomy 8 and verse 11 through 20. He reminded them and warned them, Deuteronomy 8:11, beware that thou forget not the Lord thy God in keeping his commandments and judgments, statutes, which I command thee this day, lest when thou hast eaten and art full, and hast built goodly houses and dwelt therein, when thy herds and thy flocks multiply, and thy silver and thy gold is multiplied, all that thou hast is multiplied, then thine heart is lifted up, and thou forget the Lord thy God, which brought thee forth out of the land of Egypt and from the house of bondage, who led thee through with great and terrible wilderness, wherein were fiery serpents, scorpions, drought. There was no water, who brought thee forth water out of the rock or the flint, who fed thee in the wilderness with manna, which thy fathers knew not, that he might humble thee, and he might prove thee to do thee good at the latter end. And thou say in thine heart, my power and the might of mine hand hath gotten me this wealth. And this is a note to remember, verse 18 of Deuteronomy 8. But thou shalt remember the Lord thy God, for it is he that giveth thee power to get wealth, that he may establish his covenant, which he sware unto thy fathers, as it is this day. So God gives the ability to get wealth to those people who love him and serve him. And all of us can testify to God's blessings upon us, because since we've been saved and we give back to God of our giving, that we have seen the hand of God bless what we have and multiply what we have. And you can never outgive God. He will bless you when you give unto him. But Israel, even in Romans chapter 1, in Paul's day, and he wrote to Rome, Romans 1, verse 20 and 21 says, for the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. Now, God had warned them that the time would come when they would have prosperity in the land and they would forget God. They forget who gave it to them. It is from the Lord. He gives the power to get wealth, that he may establish his covenant that he swear unto the fathers. In verse 19 and 20, it even goes to the end times that God is blessing. God would regather Israel if they would do what they ought to do. If they would confess their sin to him, if they would turn again unto God and turn away from their sinfulness, from idolatry and wickedness and all those things. In 29:9, he said, "Keep therefore the words of this covenant and do them, that ye may prosper in all that you do." In verse 19 and 20, "And it come to pass when he heareth the words of this curse that he bless himself in his heart, saying, I shall have peace though I walk in the imagination of mine heart to add drunkenness to thirst. The Lord will not spare him, but then the anger of the Lord and his jealousy shall smoke against that man, and all the curses that are written in this book shall lie upon him, and the Lord shall blot out his name from under heaven." Even to the end times in the tribulation, as God uses that to bring Israel to believe in him and to go through that such a tremendous chastening period before the Antichrist, you'll read in Revelation of a great host of people in white robes that are there, who says that they were delivered by the blood of the Lamb, and the sun would not smite them any longer. They would neither hunger nor thirst again. So that tells us in the tribulation period, they're going to suffer all those things, and then they will be killed and they'll be in heaven because they had believed on the Lord Jesus Christ. So God's blessing us in this age in which we live, and every good thing comes down from above, and we ought to praise God for it. I praise God for this election going the way that it did. I don't have all the answers in the world, but I felt confident that Marxism and socialism is not the direction that we want to see this country go. It's not what's going to help Christianity to flourish and spread the gospel. And so we hope that the president will be a man who God can turn as he turns the rivers and use him for his honor and glory. And we need to all be people of prayer for our leaders and ask the Lord's intervention.